Most of us in our lives have had heroes. I think a lot of little boys and girls grow up with their parents being their heroes, and maybe that continues on through the rest of their lives. Oftentimes people will have heroes that are sports stars. I know that was true of me. I was a great fan of Johnny Unitas in football, the great quarterback for the then Baltimore Colts, and Carl Yastrzemski, the Yaz, for the Boston Red Sox outfielder, and I had many other heroes, Willie Mays, Frank Robinson. There were lots of them that were my heroes. Today I can say, though, that most of my heroes come from the Bible. In the Old Testament, I have a number of biblical heroes. I think about Joseph in the Old Testament, and Moses, and Daniel, and Ezra, and Nehemiah. And when you come to the New Testament, of course, Jesus is always at the top of the list of all of those that I would consider a hero. But the Apostle Paul is one individual, other than Christ, that remains to this day and has for many years been someone that I would consider a hero. I think he heads the list for me because of his relentless pursuit of knowing Christ and serving Christ. Paul was relentless no matter what happened, no matter how many difficulties he faced. He was relentless in pursuing Christ and knowing Him and in serving Him. And his writings continue to be some of my favorite writings that are in the Bible. But what's interesting, when you read Paul's letters, that there are many individuals that most Christians wouldn't even recognize their names, that I would consider the unsung heroes, and as Paul would describe them, slaves of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be introduced to a couple today and some more next week as we look at these individuals. Let's look at the context of the passage that we're studying today. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, Paul is bringing his letter to a close. He's making some general statements, mentioning individuals that are with him and why they are important to his ministry. Too often, I think as a young Christian, I imagine the Apostle Paul is primarily going solo, serving Christ alone. He was Paul against the world. But nothing could be further from the truth, because Paul surrounded himself with many unsung heroes and slaves of Jesus Christ who not only were serving the Lord but assisting Paul in many different ways in his ministries, as well as being sent by Paul as his apostolic representative. And he's going to mention eight in the end of his letter to Colossians, and we're going to look at two today. Remember the context. The Apostle Paul is incarcerated. He's in bondage for being a preacher of the gospel. He's going to mention that here at the end of his letter. He is probably in Rome. At least my understanding is that the Apostle Paul is incarcerated in Rome. It's that incarceration that's described at the end of the book of Acts, chapter 28, beginning in verse 16. It talks about that, if you'd like to read more about that. And to the individuals he mentions today, and as we examine their lives and what Paul says about them, this is the primary thrust of the message. This is the big idea of the message. And we're reminded that God uses all who show themselves to be faithful and are willing to serve as Christ's slaves, God will use if they are willing to serve where He needs them. God will use all who are faithful servants or slaves of Jesus Christ if they are willing to be, if they are obedient to be willing to serve where He needs them. Let's pick up the text as we find it in the book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. As to all my affairs, Paul is going to, he hasn't mentioned a lot about his situation. He will mention more about his situation, a little bit more as we go. But he's leaving it up to these individuals that he's going to mention that they can fill in some of the areas of Paul's situation that he's not writing about. They will explain further what's going on in Paul's life. He says, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant, will bring you information. It's likely, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, it's likely that Tychicus was delivering Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, and he's going to, I think, deliver several other letters as well, and we'll talk about them in a moment. But the individual who was given the responsibility to deliver that letter was probably also the one who would have read that letter to the church for the very first time. So you can imagine Tychicus, as he's given this really a prized possession. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. And he's given this tremendous responsibility to deliver this letter. And once he gets there, to read it and then to answer questions that the people in Colossae, the believers, would have had about Paul's situation. Verse 8, "For I have sent him to you," Paul says, talking about Tychicus, "for this very purpose." And then he gives two primary purposes. "That you may know about our circumstances, and that he," Tychicus, "may encourage your hearts." So he was not only given the responsibility to deliver the letter, to explain Paul's situation, but also to encourage the believers in Colossae. Verse 9, "And with him, Onesimus." Now, some of you are familiar with the name Onesimus. You know him from the references to him in the book of Philemon. It appears, there are not all scholars agree, but it appears Onesimus was a runaway slave. He had found his way to Rome. He had evidently stolen some things, some valuable things from his master. And once he gets in Rome, somehow he comes into contact, by God's divine design, he comes into contact with the Apostle Paul, and he is saved, and he becomes someone that Paul will describe later in Philemon as being very useful to him during his imprisonment. So with Tychicus, verse 9, "And with Tychicus, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brothers," he's a Christian now, "who is one of your number," he's from Colossae, Philemon, a church evidently met in his house, "they," speaking both of Tychicus and Onesimus, "will inform you about the whole situation here." As we think about some of these unsung heroes and slaves of Jesus Christ, such as Tychicus and Onesimus, I want to think with you a little bit further about who they were as they are described in Scripture. Tychicus is mentioned a total of 5 times in Scripture. Now, maybe you were just unaware of his name at all, but he was a very important individual. Not only is he mentioned here in Colossians, but Tychicus was also mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 4. He and a man named Trophimus, who was both from Asia Minor. Colossae is in Asia Minor, Ephesus is in Asia Minor, and Trophimus was from Ephesus, and likely Tychicus was as well. He was probably saved during Paul's long stay, about 2.5 years, close to 3 years, during his third missionary journey. And Tychicus was likely saved at that time. So Tychicus and Trophimus were from the province of Asia, and we're part of a group, a very important group of individuals that joined the Apostle Paul as he returned to Jerusalem at the end of his third missionary journey. And they were delivering a gift, a financial gift, to the church at Jerusalem that had been gathered from the churches in Macedonia, northern Greece, and Achaia, southern Greece, as well as Asia Minor, where we have Ephesus and Colossae, are two of the cities that are located in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And I think this assignment speaks volumes about the type of person Tychicus was. He had to be reliable. He had to be trustworthy. He had to be honest. You wouldn't give someone that responsibility of helping to deliver these funds if they were not honest and reliable and trustworthy, faithful. And they would have also had to have a good reputation in the church they were from, because they were the church's representatives from those locations to the church at Jerusalem. And so we learn a great deal about Tychicus just from this responsibility. But we also read about him. So that was when Paul left Ephesus and later went to Jerusalem at the end of his third missionary journey. Tychicus was with him. And maybe Tychicus even stayed with Paul during that entire time and traveled with him and Luke as they went back to Rome, because we find Tychicus with Paul on his first Roman imprisonment, if that's where he wrote these letters from, and I believe it was, at the end or during Paul's incarceration in Rome. And he's mentioned not only here in his letter to Colossae, the church at Colossae, but to the church at Ephesus. And I want to just read to you that text, because he's given much the responsibility to the church that's meeting in Ephesus as he is to the church that's meeting in Colossae in likely delivering that letter from the Apostle Paul. We read in Ephesians 6, 21 and 22, but that you also, this is Ephesians 6, that you also may know about my circumstances, he writes to the church at Ephesus, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. It's very similar, isn't it, to what he wrote to the church at Colossae. I have sent him to you for this purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. So imagine this, that during Paul's Roman imprisonment, that at least 2-year period, Tychicus was one of those individuals. And Paul has put down his thoughts, his teaching to the churches at Colossae and Ephesus that we now have, because they are inspired by the Holy Spirit in Scripture. We now have them. And he likely wrote them on pieces of papyrus that would have been rolled up. And these very valuable, important documents were given to Tychicus and trusted to him to travel about 1,500 miles, or I take that 1,300 miles, closer to 1,300 miles from Rome all the way back to Ephesus, and then another 150 miles to the Lycus Valley, where you have the churches at Hierapolis and Laodicea and Colossae, all very close together. And he had this tremendous important responsibility. I mean, imagine something that valuable, and you were given them to travel 1,300 miles to deliver. Tychicus truly was an unsung hero and slave of Christ that we find in the Bible. But he's even mentioned later in Paul's writings. I believe Paul was released after that first Roman imprisonment. He wrote 3 letters. We call them the pastoral epistles. 1 and 2 Timothy and our first, no, 2 letters. 1 Timothy and Titus he wrote during that time. And then he was later rearrested and in Rome for a second Roman imprisonment. And it was there that he wrote 2 Timothy. And he's mentioned in Titus and 2 Timothy. In Titus, Paul writes to Titus, who is on Crete, as Paul's apostolic representative serving the church at Crete. He writes Titus and tells them that he will either send Titus or Artemas to replace him so Titus could send Tychicus or Artemas to Crete to replace Titus, so that Titus could then go be with Paul. We don't know if Tychicus was ever given that responsibility, but it tells you that he was highly thought of. And that he would be one of Paul's apostolic representatives tell you he was grounded in the sound doctrine, the apostolic teaching of the faith. That he's someone who's trustworthy. He was a leader who could handle dealing with these difficult problems in the church at Crete. And then finally, he's mentioned in the book of 2 Timothy that Paul wrote while he was on death row during his second Roman imprisonment. This would have been the last letter he wrote. And he explains to Timothy that he sent Tychicus to Ephesus. And that he was asking Timothy to come as soon as he could. Could have Tychicus delivered this letter of 2 Timothy? We don't know for sure. Possibly. But it appears that he was the replacement for Timothy at Ephesus again, showing you that he was a genuine leader who was rooted in sound doctrine and who was willing to handle the difficult challenges that the churches were facing at that time. And so we see what an unsung hero Tychicus really was. It's no wonder Paul describes him as a beloved brother, someone who's greatly loved by Paul as well as the church at Rome. He's described as a faithful servant. And servant is diakonos. It's also used to translate the term deacon, but he's not a deacon. He's an apostolic representative, but diakonos can also mean simply mean servant, as it does here. He's reliable. He's dependent. He's one who's willing to serve, faithful to get the job done. Paul knew he could count on him. And Tychicus was described as a fellow bondservant, a soon doulos, a slave of Christ along with the apostle Paul. It's a very important word, slave of Christ. There's a book that if you ever want to study this further, I'd encourage you to pick it up. It's called Slaves of Christ, or Slave of Christ by Murray J. Harris. It was written several years ago. And they talk about that description of who Jesus Christ, who Paul described himself oftentimes as a slave of Jesus Christ, and as well as those others like Tychicus that's called a soon doulos, a fellow slave of Christ. Harris argues that slaves of Christ were characterized by at least three things. And I think this is very important to understand. This is not only for leaders. This should be true of every follower of Jesus Christ. We're all slaves of Christ. A slave of Christ exhibits a humble submission to the person of Christ. It is the devotion of the whole person for their whole life to Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a slave of Christ. A slave of Christ has an unquestioning obedience to the master's will. The faithful slave is the obedient slave. If we are living as slaves of Christ, we will be fully obedient to the teachings of God's Word. And third, a slave of Christ, and I love this statement, has an exclusive preoccupation with pleasing Christ. An exclusive preoccupation with pleasing the Master, Jesus Christ. In fact, I love what Harris writes. He quotes, first of all, Paul from 2 Corinthians 5:9, where he says, "We make it our ambition to be constantly pleasing to Him." He says this was Paul's magnificent obsession. And I think all of us become obsessed with things in our lives. But Paul's magnificent obsession was pleasing Christ. You know, we want to please our spouses. We want to please those we care about. But you know what our magnificent obsession should be in life is pleasing Christ, regardless of what others think. Our magnificent obsession should always be to please Jesus Christ. Always. In everything. Well, Paul also mentions another individual, Onesimus. I mentioned him earlier. You can learn more about him if you would read the book of Philemon. It's only one chapter, so you could read it in just a few minutes. It won't take you very long. Onesimus was a runaway slave, it appears. Not all agree with that, but most think it is. It's been the traditional interpretation that he's a runaway slave from Colossae, where his master Philemon heads up a church there. And somehow he finds his way to Rome, probably fled there to get lost in the crowd. And by God's divine design, he comes into contact with the Apostle Paul. He hears the gospel and he's saved, and his life is transformed. His life is transformed. And Paul describes him this way as being faithful, reliable, and dependable. And what's interesting about that, in Philemon 11, when he's writing to Philemon, and I'm guessing Tychicus carried this letter as well. So not only is he carrying the letter to the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, he's probably carrying this church or this letter to Philemon, which is also, if you read the beginning, is to be read to the church that meets in his home, in Philemon's home. And later, as we'll see next week, he mentions another letter to Laodicea, which is only about 15 miles from Colossae, or from Laodicea, and Laodicea and Colossae were only about 9 miles apart. So they're all right there close together in the, what's called the Lycus Valley. And he mentions a letter to the Laodiceans. So it's very possible Tychicus is carrying four letters. Four very important letters from the Apostle Paul. Three to churches and one to an individual and the church that meets at his home. Onesimus is described as faithful. And Paul says in verse 11, describing Onesimus, who was formerly useless to Philemon. Formerly useless. He probably was not the most obedient slave. And then he says, but now is useful both to you and to me. In fact, Paul says, I wish to keep him with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. Paul is imprisoned for the gospel in Rome. And he would have liked to keep Onesimus, but he was sending back, we learn in the book of Philemon, he's sending him back to his master, believing, he writes, that Philemon will do the right thing. And so we learn that Onesimus, this unsung hero of the faith, this unsung hero and slave of Jesus Christ, he doesn't call him a slave, which is interesting, even though he was a human slave. But he calls him faithful, meaning he's reliable and dependable. He calls him a beloved brother. He's greatly loved by Paul and no doubt the church that met in Rome. And he's one of your number. He's from the city of Colossae. And so as we have learned about these unsung heroes and slaves of Jesus Christ, there's some important lessons I think that we can apply to our lives as well. As we think of ourselves, and we should, as slaves of Jesus Christ. First of all, a slave of Christ is preoccupied with obeying and pleasing Christ. We should be committed, preoccupied with obeying and serving Jesus Christ. And as we do, we'll find that people will not always understand it. Our world, our communities won't always understand that. They won't understand a person who's fully devoted to obeying and serving Jesus Christ. The world, it won't make sense because you will make sacrifices for Jesus Christ. You will do things the community and others might think is a little strange because of your commitment to Christ. The very fact that even during the midst of all of this coronavirus stuff, we want to meet, we want to be together. We want to worship together. We want to sing together. We want to study God's Word together. Why is that so important for us? Because we want to obey Jesus Christ and serve Him. Second, Christ's slaves fulfill whatever responsibilities they are given. You know, if you are giving a responsibility of service for Christ, I want you to understand, no matter what others might think, it's not insignificant no matter what it is. My little brother and I talked recently, and we were talking about how growing up, every Saturday, my folks were the custodians of the church where we lived all the time we were growing up, and even when our grandkids, some of our grandkids were growing up, and they would get in on this. But every Sunday, every Saturday, I take that back, every Saturday we cleaned the church. And when my mom cleaned, it was thorough. I remember my little brother and I, we had to dust the pews. Every pew you had to dust, and you dusted the windowsills, and then we dry them off the floors under the pews with the hardwood floors and vacuumed down the aisles where the carpet was. And we cleaned that church top to bottom every week. If it snowed, we scooped snow. If the lawn needed mowed, we mowed. And all of those are important. They're not insignificant. I value the people here at Syracuse Bible Church that clean our church. I value the people that work in nursery. I value the people that are greeters and serve as our Sunday school teachers and workers in Awana and leaders in Awana and youth group. And help me with the audio, video, and getting these messages online. I value every one of them. And I'm going to tell you today that Christ values them too and their ministry. If Christ gives us a service to fulfill, we need to be faithful. That's really our responsibility. Because number three, faithfulness is an essential virtue for every slave of Christ. I think when we stand before the Lord as Christians someday, and our lives will be evaluated, the Bible tells us we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not to determine whether we're saved, because only believers will be there, but to determine the rewards and lack of rewards. And what's really the key? The key isn't how significant the world thought our service was. The key is whether we were faithful. Paul makes this very clear in 1 Corinthians 4:1 through 2. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ. And stewards, he says, of the mysteries of God. A steward is one who's given a responsibility. And the key is, have you been faithful? He says, in this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. The same word that's translated faithful. There's the key, Christian friends. Are we faithful? Are we faithful in our giving? Are we faithful in our serving? Are we faithful to fulfill those responsibilities that we have been given? None of them are insignificant if they're for Christ. They all have value. And you have value as you fulfill them. And my prayer for you today, and myself, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, my prayer for you, that you too will have that same magnificent obsession that the Apostle Paul had to seek to please Jesus Christ in all things. And if you're listening today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I want to just briefly remind you of the gospel. The gospel that's taught in Scripture. The gospel that saves us from not only the penalty of sin, but the power of sin. That Christ died for our sins as our sin substitute on the cross, paying the penalty that our sins deserved. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that He was buried, demonstrating that He truly died. And that He rose again victorious over death. And seen by many witnesses, at one time over 500. And the Bible teaches that if by faith alone we turn from our sins, repent, turn from our sins, and by faith turn to Christ and trust Him alone as Savior and Lord, God gives us the gift of eternal life. The victory that Jesus won over sin and death becomes our victory. And we begin a forever relationship with Him, knowing that when we die, we will go to be with Him. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you sense God convicting you of your sin today, your need of a Savior, and sense Him tugging at your heart, I would encourage you, place your faith alone in Christ. Repent, turn from your sin, and place your faith alone in Jesus Christ to save you. Lord, I thank you so much for this text. I thank you so much for Tychicus and Onesimus. I thank you for the way that they faithfully served you as slaves of Christ, that they shared that magnificent obsession with the Apostle Paul of wanting to please you above all else, to please you, Lord. May we share that magnificent obsession ourselves. And if there's someone listening today that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, may they trust Jesus alone to save them. Repent of their sins and turn to Christ and Christ alone for the gift of salvation. Lord, may we be faithful. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.